Well, good morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this, your word, we pray that you would speak in the power of your Spirit, reminding us of the good news that came through the gift of your Son, that we might live boldly for your glory today and in all the days of this year and in all the years that you give us beyond it. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. So glad that we're all here today to start 2017. Can you believe it? Starting a brand new year together. I was thinking back about this time last year. We were preparing to move. We had all sorts of moving dreams. And look, here we are. Well, does anybody know what today is? Today's a feast day in the church. Does anybody know what today is? Not you, you're the wife of the priest. Anybody besides the priest's wife know what today is? The Feast of Holy Name. The Feast of Holy Name. It's the day in which the church sets aside to remember the name of Jesus. And this day is chosen on the church calendar because 8 days after his birth at Christmas, he would have been what? Say circumcised. Circumcised. And at the circumcision, he would have gotten his name. And they would call his name Jesus. I got to thinking about this week, and some of you are probably friends with Liz and Jason Thigpen. You know, they're about ready to have their third child. And so they sent out this past week suggestions for names. Anybody have a suggestion for a name that starts with C? So I sent mine in, and y'all feel free to vote for my submission. I sent in Crimson Danger Thigpen. I think that's the name that it needs, a Crimson Danger Thigpen. If you've ever been to their house and seen all their Roll Tide paraphernalia, you would think that child is destined for that name, Crimson Danger. So feel free to vote for that. But it also caused me to think about, why is this so important? Why is the name of a child so important? The name of a child speaks to our hopes, speaks to our dreams for that child, especially in this day when naming the name of Messiah. You see, I want you to flip back with me to Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 31. And the angels, when they were talking, said, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now flip back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, because Matthew's going to give us a little bit more detail than Luke did. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And the angels again speaking said, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Why? "For he will save his people from their sins." You see, the name Jesus, the reason that this name is so important is the name of Jesus. It means he saves. Jesus Christ came to save us. Jesus Christ humbled himself and became an infant child and was born into the world that he might redeem for God a people, a wayward, sinful people like us. The beginning of this new year, we have an opportunity. It's like a fresh new calendar to live into who we are in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus came not merely to save us so that we make it to heaven someday, but he came to redeem us and reconcile us to God and to remake us into the image of Christ today, this year, in 2017. So today I want to talk about the promise of the name of Jesus. We're going to look at the promise of his name. We're going to look at the peace that comes with his name, and then we will talk about the proclamation of his name to the ends of the earth. First thing is I want you to see is that is back in Luke chapter 2, look at verse 14. Just glory to God in the highest. This is that heavenly host that's praising God, and they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," what? "Peace." among those with whom he is pleased. The first thing about the name of Jesus is that God, through the person and the work of Jesus, is undoing the spiritual war that began at the fall. At the fall, creation and mankind fell into discord with a holy God. You see, sin separates us from a holy God. There is a war going on between our flesh and our spirit, and there is this battle for our souls. And it began at the fall as Satan entered into creation and spoke lies to Adam and Eve. And Adam took with his wife and disobeyed God, disregarded his holy commands. And then all mankind from that point forward has been affected by the fall. But at the name of Jesus, because of Jesus, there is the hope of redemption. You see, in the name of Jesus, God is setting about to buy back us, our souls, our lives. The word to redeem means to buy back. And in the name of Jesus, God is saying, I am paying for your debt. I am buying your pardon. The wages that are due to your sin, I will take upon myself. It is in this name of Jesus that we remember. Every time you say the name of Jesus, you ought to say, God so loved me that he gave his son, Jesus, to save me from my sin. The name of Jesus has as its promise this promise of our redemption. He pays our sin debt. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty good news for me. I don't know where you've been in your life, but I know that I've been in some pits that I sure am glad you guys can't see. I've been guilty of some things that I'm sure glad I don't have to post on those screens up there for you guys to look at. But no matter how bad it was, and no matter how far I was from the Lord God, the name of Jesus gives me the hope that he paid that debt. He bought my redemption. He secured my forgiveness. The wages of sin that was due to me, he took upon himself. Oh, there's something about the name of Jesus that ought to cause us to hope, because he has paid our debt. There's a second thing I want you to see in the name of Jesus and what it brings to us. The second thing I want you to see is that it's not only bringing us peace through paying for our sin debt, but it brings us rebirth. You see, Jesus' salvation, this idea of salvation, doesn't merely mean that he paid what was owed, though that is very important. He also brings with redemption rebirth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all has become new. You see, in the name of Jesus is the promise not only of our payment for our sin, but a brand new beginning. When we are in Jesus, when we have come to saving faith in Jesus, he brings us back to life. He gives us a new life in him. We are indwelt with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are called by a new name. We are called Christian. And we are called to a new future, holiness. Now, we don't hear that talked about very much anymore. But I want you to see this, that the new birth that we have in Jesus, the hope that we have in Jesus, is not merely that we don't have to endure our sin debts, but that we might be remade, reborn, and made into the image of Jesus, that through the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Scripture and the truth of God guiding and directing our path, that God right now is remaking us and calling us to live like Jesus. The name Christian means to be one who follows Christ, a little Christ, one who is being remade in the image of Jesus. I want you to understand this. You are, by the power of the Holy Spirit, being reworked from the inside out to change your desires, to change your direction, to change your destiny. You're no longer held captive to the past. You're no longer subjugated to the worst moment of your life and that label that the world wants to put on you. You've been set free in Jesus, and you've been given a new name in Jesus. You've been called son or daughter of the Most High God. You've been called forgiven. You've been called reborn, made new. Think about it. When we welcome a child into the earth at the birth and we wrap that baby up in that hospital room, I'll never forget when Kat and John Calvin were born, but Kat particularly, as she was the first one, I just remember holding her going, oh my gosh, she's mine. This is amazing. And I wouldn't let anybody hold her, not her mother, not her grandparents. In fact, Kim's dad said, hey, I got to catch a plane. I'd like to hold my granddaughter since I came all this way. I'd really like to hold her at least once before I leave. I'm like, well, I don't know. It's like, she's mine, get your own. No, I did share briefly, but I did share. But the hope and the promise of new life, when those children come into the world, our prayers are they could be anything. Our hopes and dreams for them are huge. They're endless. Rebirth, being born in Jesus, gives us that same hope. When we come to Christ, the old is passed away and everything becomes new. When we are born into Jesus, we no longer have to live in the past, but we can hope in the promise of our redemption, which is that we will be made holy as He is holy. This year, 2017, I not only want you to remember that your sins are paid for, but I want you to remember that you've been called to live like Jesus. You were given new life and new birth so that you might be holy as He is holy. Wouldn't it be great if the testimony of our parish this year would be that we are a people that are growing in holiness? And the only way that happens, dear ones, is if we are on our knees in prayer, listening to God and sharing with God our hearts. If we're in His Word and it's penetrating our souls with truth. If we are speaking to one another words of life and hope, challenging one another when we are headed towards sin, celebrating with one another when we're living for God. These things will cause us to be made new. What a hope. Oh, Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. My sins are paid for and my life is made new. But there's a third thing I want you to see. This is really amazing. Not only are we redeemed and reborn, but we are reconciled. You see, the shepherds were the ones that received this message, and they were outcasts. All of us who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God are outcasts by nature. But we've been reconciled to God. And as we've been reconciled to God, made brought back into relationship with God, that changes everything. So redemption and rebirth leads to reconciliation. And there's a vertical aspect that we're redeemed and reconciled to God, but there's also a horizontal aspect that happens. You see, dear ones, when God's love remakes me, I'm able to love you, even you. And you're able to love me in all my brokenness, in all my fallenness, with all my foibles and shortcomings. You're able to love me, and I'm able to love you. This is the promise of the name of Jesus, that there is reconciliation with God and man. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. So here's the third thing I want you to see. So reconciliation. As we begin this new year, your sins are paid for. Your life is being remade by the promise of Christ, and you are being called to love as He loved you, to be reconciled with one another. I just spent time in the holidays with family. How about you? There are some family members that are, shall we say, challenging. Is that fair? Challenging. There were times that I had to get in my truck and leave so that I didn't say something I would be sorry for. I don't know about your family. Maybe your family isn't like that, but that's how my family is. We're broken. So I did. I got in the truck and, you know, went and saw Starbucks. It's amazing therapy for $5 in a cup. But for all the things that are tension points in our family, we're still family, and we still love each other, and we still come back together, and we still hug and kiss and make up, and we're okay. And that's like the family of God. This year, this past year, people probably did something to frustrate you, maybe get you a little sideways or upset. Good news, because of what Jesus has done, your sins are forgiven, and this is your opportunity to forgive them too. Because this year, let's make 2017 a year where we are our fellowship together is marked by giving what we've gotten, being reconciled to one another, being reconciled, being made right with each other, because we've been made right with God because of this name, Jesus. There's a group in our church used to sing a song, the Stone Family Singers. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name. Master Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. That's right. You want to sing it? No, sorry, just kidding. The point being, the name of Jesus changes everything. Changes everything. And my prayer for us on the first day of 2017 is this. Whatever you brought in here with you this morning, because of what Christ has done, being born into the world, dying on a cross, and being raised from the dead, you are forgiven. Your debt is marked paid in full. Because of what Jesus has done, because of the name of Jesus, you have a new beginning. God doesn't see you in light of your worst. He sees you through the lens of Christ's righteousness. Because of Jesus, you've been made right with God, and you have an opportunity this year to go live what you've received together in your families, together as the family of faith, in this community that so desperately needs to see a real witness of what Christ's love looks like, what Christ's truth sounds like. This is our goal. This is our opportunity. This is our beginning. So, lastly, the shepherds, when they had seen everything that had been told to them, all the promises of God fulfilled in the Christ child, laid in the manger, they went and told everyone they could tell. You know, I'm not interested in us being a mega church, but I am very interested in us being a mission church. I'm going to say that again. I'm not interested in us being a mega church, but I'm very interested in us being a missional church. This is our mission field. We have neighbors that are in need of someone loving them. We have broken people around us who need to know that God's able to fix what's hurting them. We need folks that believe that God is still a healer, don't we? We need to believe that God is bigger than our adversary. And we need to be sharing with the people that are around us how great is our God. You see, God's presence abides in the praises of his people. I'm going to tell this story and I'm going to end. Recently, I heard a concert by Natalie Grant. Natalie Grant is Quig Lawrence, who I used to serve with. His daughter is the nanny for Natalie Grant. And Natalie was sharing this story of how she was out in Tennessee picking up her girls from school. And she was on her cell phone and she was griping about something that wasn't going exactly how she wanted. And she was really frustrated. And then she looked in a rearview mirror, and across the back seat of her car were three girls with their hands lifted over their heads, singing, "Your praise will ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips." And she said, the tears began to come down her face. Because in the midst of the circumstance that she was griping about, her daughters were praising the Lord. And there's power in praise. And so this morning, what I want to send you out with is this. Because of the name of Jesus, may His name be ever on your lips. May His praise be ever in your mouth. Because His presence comes as we praise. May this year be the year of praise, where we make much of the blessed name of Jesus, so that the world might see and know His redemption, His rebirth, and His reconciliation. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Oh, there is something about that name. At the name of Jesus, may all heaven and earth bow and proclaim, King of kings and Lord of lords. For those of us maybe who've wandered away from you this year, may we refocus upon you anew and afresh this first day of this year, 2017. And may you be the desire of our heart all year long. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.